We're looking at verse 14, but let's read verses 13 and 14. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So we've looked at the thought and the fact that we were to take unto us, put on, the whole armor of God. And the first piece of armor that he told us to put on was the girdle of truth. Gird our loins about with truth. All around, truth is to encompass us about. What is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we're to encompass ourselves with truth, with Word. We must be immersed, if you please, in the Word of God. Devote ourselves to reading, to studying, and to memorization of the Word of God. Why? Why should we do that? Because we face a formidable adversary. We face a wily adversary. One who is full of deceit, one who is full of trickery, one who is full of lies. Satan is whom we face, and the only way we are going to withstand him, to resist him, is by being encompassed with truth. Then it goes on saying, having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was worn by the soldier to protect the chest area, to protect the vital organs. And most of the breastplates were not just in the front, but they covered the back as well. They kind of fit down over the head and come down across the chest and around the back, covering the vital organs of the body. Without it, the soldier was open to the artillery of the enemy. In fact, in the Old Testament, there were a couple of kings that died. Ahab was one. The enemy launched an arrow when he found out that Jehoshaphat wasn't the king of Israel, he was the king of Judah, and he launched an arrow, and guess what? God guided it and directed it right into the back of Ahab, and ended up, he died before the sun went down. So the breastplate was to protect against the artillery, the fiery darts of the enemy, the wicked one in our battle. Righteousness is specifically referring to the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed by God being received by faith and is a guard against and repels the advances of the enemy. In salvation, our sins are taken from us, are removed from us. And in their place, we are given the imputed righteousness of Christ. We now have to our account the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God. That's in salvation. But having now this righteousness of God, had we not ought to live as though we are clothed, we have to our account the righteousness of God? Had we not ought to live righteously before God? We're commanded to live righteously, to live holy before the Lord. And this is the righteousness of Christ. It's not our own righteousness. It's something we can't work out of ourselves. But because we're in Christ, because we're in Him, we now can live righteously. We can do the righteous deeds that Christ did. We can live as Christ lived. We don't have to sin any longer. We're to be free of sin in our lives. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians, in chapter 1, in a verse that I've really come to love, verse 11, if my Bible will ever bring it up. I might have to help it along here. I didn't shut the Wi-Fi off. So maybe that'll help. Yep. Verse 11. Philippians 1. Being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. We can be filled, we're to be filled with the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness brings forth, which is not by ourselves, which are by Jesus Christ and are unto the glory and praise of God. Everything that Jesus did, He did to the praise and honor and glory of His Heavenly Father. He came to do the will of His Heavenly Father. And now because we're in Christ, we can live righteous lives bearing fruit, the fruit of righteousness, which is by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. We can actually do those things which bring honor and glory and praise unto God, our Father. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, in chapter 6, and look with me here at verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. The things listed before, the fornication, the covetousness, which is the underlying of most of our sins and our ills against our fellow man, covetousness is. Flee those things. But follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. Follow after faith, love, patience, meekness. You say you have faith. We ought to see a change in your life. We ought to see a life that is striving for righteousness. A life that is striving for godliness. Seeking to be loving, compassionate, patient, and gentle with our fellow man. How do we do on that count? How am I doing on that count? Sometimes I praise the Lord, I think I'm doing pretty good. I think the Lord's doing a great work in me, and I know the Lord has done a great work in me, and I know He's continuing to work in me. But sometimes I'm not as loving. Sometimes I'm not as patient. Sometimes I'm not as gentle as I ought to be. How about you? Turn with me to the book of Romans. Book of Romans. In chapter 4. In verse 3. Well, let's begin with verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. God doesn't see our glory in ourselves. It doesn't stand in the face of God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That is, because he believed God, because he trusted God, because he was leaning upon God, it was imputed to him was righteousness. The righteousness of God. Not his own righteousness, but the righteousness of God was imputed unto him to the forgiveness of sins, as says down a few verses. Well, let's read some of these other verses too. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Not just Abraham, but all of us who believe is counted to us for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. See, on the basis of our faith in God, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, sins have been removed, taken away, forgiven, and removed. And in its place, we have the righteousness of God. That it has to do with our standing before God. God sees us as in Christ as being righteous and having the righteousness of God. Having that righteousness of God, have we ought not to live our life? Had not I ought to live my life as though I have the righteousness of God? In other words, what men see in me, what men see in you, they ought to see something different than they see in other people. The third chapter, going back to the third chapter, and more to be said on this righteousness and in the faith, the belief that is there. Verse 21 of the third chapter, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Verse 24, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." If I have the righteousness of Christ by faith in Christ, by faith in his blood, then had I not, I ought to be living as though I have, as Philippians 1:11 said, as Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, "Flee covetousness." All the sins that come from being covetous. That now we ought to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. In other words, the righteousness of God and us living as though we have the righteousness of God serves to thwart the advances of the enemy. So it serves to withstand, as the scripture said, the advances of the evil one. You see, having the righteousness of God imputed to us, we desire. Do we desire? Do we desire to live righteously? I think the true child of God does. I know the true child of God does. He desires to live righteously. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17 talk about the war between the flesh and the spirit. Paul enumerated on it in Romans chapter 7. Paul said his desire, and we all would say Paul was a child of God. We know Paul was a child of God. We know Paul was a child of God because of what? Because of the life that he lived and the witness that he was for the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said he had a battle. He said he had a war going on. He had a desire, he talked about, that which he would do, he didn't do, and the things that he would not, he did. Do you have that in you? Do you have that desire to not sin, that desire to do good, that desire to do righteously? Are you striving to do that? We can certainly see in Romans chapter 7, we can see Paul was striving. He had a desire, and he was striving to live righteously in this present evil world. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Chapter 5 and verse 20. This, of course, is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, speaking to his disciples and a multitude of other people that were seated along the hillside. And he said, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. What did he say there? I mean, he took an example from a people that we would, men look at in that day as living righteously. But what was wrong with them? They appeared outwardly to do that which was right, but they lacked the principle of faith and love. They had not been changed inwardly. There was no change inwardly. There was no desire to do those things to the honor and glory of God. Their desire was to do those things to the praise of men. And in the next chapter, chapter 6, he points that out. He points out several things. He points out their almsgiving. He points out their praying. He points out their fasting. All that which they did and made boast of doing, they did for the honor and praise of men, not for the honor and glory of God. You see, I want to do those things which are honor and glorifying unto my Heavenly Father, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a source of, well, shall we say, in terms that we would understand, a source of embarrassment to Him. A source of as Hebrews 10 says, trampling on the blood of Christ because of my lack of zeal and desire to please Him. My desire is to please Him. To please Him in all that I do. To live righteously. And therein lies a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Because that desire is now the seat of my heart. My passions, my desires, are to do that which is godly towards my Heavenly Father. In the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15, read verse 33 along with verse 34. Verse 34 is the verse I want, but there's a thought here in these two verses connected. Be not deceived. Evil communications, evil associations, corrupt good manners. We partner with evil people. We get too close and too friendly with evil people. They're going to corrupt the good manners. Verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Is that not the desire of everyone here today that professes the Lord Jesus Christ? To sin not? That is righteousness. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. What did he mean there? Because some who profess the Lord Jesus Christ, but they have not awoke to righteousness, and they're continuing on in their sin, they have not the knowledge of God. They have not. They don't know the first thing about the Holy One, about God the Father, about the Just One, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I speak this to your shame. What does that mean? Well, we ought to be living righteous lives. We ought to be desiring not to sin and striving not to sin. We ought to be desiring to live righteously and godly in this present evil world. Why? So that others can see. So that others can see the testimony of our lips borne out in the life which we live. We talk to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I've witnessed to people from the towers over here. I can't call them by name. If I see them, I know who they were and that I've witnessed to them. Some I've witnessed on more than one occasion to them. And they probably get tired of hearing me, and probably some look to see before they go out there, is that old preacher man, is he out there? And try to avoid me. But if I witness to them with my lips, and then they see me doing something ungodly, what's that say to them? You know, in the windows in the house over there, and the windows in the house here, and the walls not having insulation in them, you know, they're paper thin. I even got to be careful how loud I yell at her. You know? Because somebody might be hearing me yell at her. I was always conscious of it when Daisy was in the house. And when Daisy's hearing went, I had to yell at her to get her attention for her to hear. And I was always fearful of somebody walking by or nearby or something, thinking I'm yelling at my wife. And I, no, I'm just yelling at the dog. I'm not yelling at the wife. You know, and I wasn't yelling at the dog because I was mad at the dog. I just wanted the dog to hear me. And if my hearing's going, you might have to talk, yell at me too, you know. Don't yell at me if you're mad, but yell at me if you want me to hear something. So, anyhow. But you got the point. We as professing Christians and having a desire to live righteously and godly, we ought to be doing so with our lives. We ought to be letting others see Jesus in me. Turn with me to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Years ago, I learned this truth. Verse 11. For the grace of God. Your mind go there? The grace of God. The grace of God's will. It's what brought salvation. But for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. Did you know the grace of God taught you something? The grace of God taught me something. Continued to teach me. Teaching us that denying ungodliness. Oh, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has taught us to deny ungodliness and to deny worldly lust. It's taught us that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Think on that. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has taught us that denying ungodliness, to deny ungodliness, to deny worldly lust, and to live soberly, righteously, and God in this world. And this world is what? This world is evil. This world is wicked. And all the more reason for us to live soberly, godly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Oh, that God would help us. 1 Thessalonians. And chapter 5. In verse 8. But let us, for of the day, or we could say, but let us, for of the light, we're of the day. We're not in darkness any longer. We're not of the night. We're of the day. Let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. Did it stop there? No, the breastplate is the breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The breastplate of faith and love. What is faith and love? Is it not the breastplate of righteousness? The righteousness of God is what? Faith and love. Agape. Love. And compassion. So, the breastplate of righteousness will render our breast the vital organs, the heart and will, the desires, the passions that is now in us. He's taken away those old desires and passions to live of the world, to live a life of sin and pleasure to self. He's given us new desires, new passions, which is to serve Him in righteousness. Will protect us. And will make inaccessible our heart and will, our desires and passions that are godly, inaccessible to the enemy. Praise God. They need to be inaccessible. Why? 1 John chapter 4. Verse that at least most of it to quote part of it. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Year of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. You see, the breastplate of righteousness. Because we have the righteousness of God, we live righteously. It renders to Satan inaccessible those new desires, that new heart that God has given us, with new desires and new passions, renders it inaccessible to Him. Because greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. We're going to stop there today. Next